A burst of light reveals a woman dressed in a white classical robe with a blue stole draped over her arm. She stands on the top of a low pyramid of steps, holding a blazing torch in her raised right hand. The logo of Columbia, a Sony Pictures Entertainment company. The spinning gyroscope logo of Revolution Studios. Revolution Studios presents an original film production. A horse ranch crisscrossed by white fences early on a summer's morning, pale sunshine casting shadows on the gable-roofed Dutch barn. Horses graze in one of the grassy paddocks. One stands silhouetted against the pink sky. Four young stallions trot in a group. A man carrying a bucket walks along the grass between two long fences towards the farm buildings. He strides into the unlit stables. A shiny-coated chestnut rears.
Easy now. Easy, boss. Whoa. Easy now.
The man's calming smile fades as he spots a bloodied human hand lying in straw behind one of the stalls. He blinks uncertainly.
What the hell?
In the stall on the matted straw, three men lie dead.
Code red, we gotta sit.
A hooded man plunges a knife into his back. As the stable hand sinks to the ground, his killer, wearing full combat gear, signals to others who sprint along the grass outside. They position round metal devices the size of car wheels on the ground in front of them. As each device explodes, it bores a burning hole into the ground, crashing through the ceiling of an underground tunnel. A man in the tunnel is thrown by the blast.
Sir, we have a breach in the perimeter?
Up above, the commando zap-sails down the hole, gunning down another.
Go secure! Sweep the high ground! Lock us down!
Agent Gibbons issues the orders. In a tunnel, the commander releases a hovering thermal image probe from his wrist. Like a flying mini-disc, the flyboy flits down the corridor, detecting human presence by means of a heat detector. The commando strides down the corridor. Gibbons arms himself with two handguns. A female NSA agent is gunned down. Further down the corridor, an agent fires first, but is mowed down. The flyboy zooms on down the armor-plated tunnel, scanning as it goes. The commandos blast their way towards the command center.
Sir, I'm reading heat signatures everywhere. They've covered all the halls.
Then I guess we better clear the hall.
As the commandos advance along one tunnel, Gibbons and his team advance along another. Another agent is hit.
Go!
Gibbons emerges, firing both weapons. A commando is hit, then an agent. Gibbons, picking up a dead agent's gun, scoots back down the corridor and dives through a bulkhead door, followed by the flyboy. As the door locks, Gibbons glares at the flyboy and swats it like a fly. In the tunnel, the commandos reload. Gibbons picks up the lifeless probe. The commandos bombard the walls of the central hall. Steel shards burst through the wall, sending agents flying. Gibbons reloads his gun and fires at an enemy commando.
Evacuate now!
As the rest of the commandos penetrate the center, gunning down everyone in their way, Gibbons ducks and weaves through the mayhem and dives into an escape pod that whizzes him upwards.
Come on. I dare you to come walk through that door. Come get some.
Gibbons steps out.
Key!
Ooh! Who the hell we piss off this time, sir?
Get in.
Gibbons and his aide get into a souped-up car.
Is this thing armed?
Always.
Good man.
Heavy bulkhead doors open. The front headlights of the car flip to one side. Gibbons launches two mini-rockets that blast through the doors of the Dutch barn. The car bursts through the flying debris and thunders off down the farm road past the paddocks. Horses scatter in fright. In the car, Gibbons shows Shavers the disabled flyboy.
You ever seen one of these?
Only in my dreams. Geothermal microcam, AquaCade uplinks, 480 gigs. Sir, this thing is 10 generations beyond the NSA.
So whoever attacked us was loaded for war, and they knew exactly where to hit us. We gotta go off the grid now. Not another skater, snowboarder, or biker. The new Triple X has gotta be more dangerous, deadlier, more attitude.
More attitude?
Baby-faced Shavers sighs hopelessly.
Where the hell are we gonna find that?
The back view of a black man with a strong neck being frog-marched along a prison block, hands and feet cuffed and chained, a military guard on either side of him. The bearded man's unlined face stares morosely straight ahead, his lips set in a snarl. The opening titles, Ice Cube in Triple X, The Next Level. over a sequence of fast-moving images with Willem Dafoe, Scott Speedman, Peter Strauss, and Samuel L. Jackson as Gibbons. With Exhibit, Michael Roof, Sonny Mabry, Nona Gay, and John G. Connolly. Casting by Marjorie Simkin. Costume designer, Sanya Milkovich Hayes. Visual effects supervisor, Scott Farrar. Music supervision, Laura Z. Wasserman and Darren Higman. Music by Marco Beltrami. Edited by Mark Goldblatt, ACE. Stephen Rosenblum, ACE. Todd E. Miller. Production designer, Gavin Bokeh. Director of Photography, David Tattersall. Executive producers, Todd Garner, Rob Cohen, Derek Dorkin. Produced by Neil H. Moritz and Arne L. Schmidt. Written by Simon Kinberg. Triple X. Directed by Lee Tamahori. At the White House, the president is being briefed by a female aide.
At noon to discuss.
A tree is a tree. How many more can they look at?
Your anniversary. Roses or tulips?
George, tulips, yellow. Thank you.
George.
An NSA chapter was just hit. 16 agents, all dead.
16? Of our men? On our own soil? How the hell did this happen?
I'm looking into it.
Suspects? Too many. How concerned do I need to be?
I'll take care of it, quick and clean, and contained.
God damn it, 16 men. How many more have to die?
This is no longer a budget meeting. The Secretary of Defense has just informed me that 16 of our NSA agents were killed in Virginia. This is a laundry list of suspects that covers half the world. It's time for a new direction. The new military bill is critical to that direction. So it's going in my State of the Union address this week.
Gibbons' metallic burgundy-colored car speeds along a highway towards U.S. disciplinary barracks of maximum security. Gibbons, carrying a briefcase, is led into a barred prison block. He strolls in and addresses a young guard in combat fatigues.
Some privacy, please. Attorney-client privilege.
The guard nods and goes. Firm-jawed Gibbons, wearing a dark suit, comes into an interview cell, puts down his case, and unbuttoning his jacket, sits down in front of a glass screen.
Good to see you again, Lieutenant.
The tough-faced prisoner sits facing him on the other side of the glass.
How long has it been? 9 years?
Not long enough. And don't call me Lieutenant. I'm inmate 3655 now.
What you doing here, Gibbons? What you want?
You. I want to give you a job.
And why would I do a damn thing for you?
Gibbons leans towards the glass.
You ever see lions at the zoo? You can always tell the
ones that were captured in the wild.
By the look in their eyes. Jesus Christ, you still coming with that same sorry-ass speech? Does it ever actually work?
From time to time, yeah.
Not this time.
I'm not feeling too patriotic these days. So I don't want no part of your little war.
You're already part of it. Somebody's taken out members of our old unit. They came for me. They will come for you. Now you can die in here, or you can take the fight to them. The Darius I remember always liked to throw the first punch.
Darius sits back down.
No speech, huh?
Gibbons looks around the cell, then leans up close to the screen.
You get any exercise in here?
12 to 1 every day on the yard.
12:06 tomorrow. Bravo Delta High Sign.
High Sign.
High Sign. Be just like old times.
Gibbons stands up.
You better hope not. Because last time out didn't have such a happy ending. You went MIA and I ended up in here.
Okay, wrap it up.
Hey!
Gibbons stops and looks back at Darius.
I like what you did with your face.
Come on, let's go.
Gibbons leaves the prison cell. At control center, NSA forensics agents crawl through the debris. Steele, a strategy officer, sips a coffee as he waits for information.
There's been a report from home office. Xander Cage was killed in Bora Bora last night?
Bora Bora? Why don't I get those assignments, huh?
What about Gibbons? Any word on Gibbons?
Unaccounted for. We do know this. He was one of only three men with access to that elevator. The other two.
Ain't gonna be giving as much of a statement.
Mm-hmm.
All right, put Mr. Gibbons on the wire. Full recon. Rapid tap.
Meadows dials a number. At the disciplinary barracks, Darius in his barred cell broodily watches the time tick over from 11:58 to 11:59. A guard talks to him through the bars.
Time to take the dog out for a walk.
The guard cuffs Darius's hands together. In a corridor, two inmates push a laundry trolley past Darius and his two escorts. As Darius and the guards wait to be let into another cell, he glances at a wall clock that reads 12:05. He addresses the guards with a smile.
You know, I'm gonna really miss you boys.
What?
He elbows each guard, slamming into each man with the full force of his body. One guard knocks another one out by mistake. Darius knocks them both unconscious. Another guard comes to the door of the cell. As he shouts for the keys to open the door, Darius unlocks the chains from his hands and legs. Guards start unlocking the cell door, but Darius is already sprinting back to where he had come from with a kosh in his hand. He wedges the door shut with the kosh as the guards storm after him. Darius strides through the prison laundry.
Let's go, let's go.
The guards try to batter down the door. Darius tosses one end of a rope up over the bars of a grill high on the laundry wall. He wraps the other end of the rope onto a winch and tugs at the rope. The grill tumbles to the floor. Darius clambers up over the laundry machinery and, gripping a horizontal bar with both hands, swings his legs into the vent, kicking out the fan and the outer covering. He dives through the vents as the guards burst through the door and the fan hurtles down to the prison yard. He climbs out onto the rim of the vent and, with his bare hands, clambers up the brick wall, easing himself up onto the roof. On a watchtower, a guard pointing his rifle catches Darius in his sights.
Got it. 250 yards.
Where's he gonna go? He's nowhere near the wall.
Darius athletically sprints along the long roof of the prison barracks, cheered on by the inmates. Coming to the end of the roof, Darius leaps down onto a lower tiled roof, sliding a few feet towards the gutter. A guard bursts through the door on a flat roof. Darius leaps onto the flat roof and confronts the guard with his fists raised. Darius ducks the guard's first blow, lashes out and trips him up. The second guard is dispatched with a right hook. Darius swings one guard round so that he crushes the other guy in the arm. Darius grabs a kosh from a guard's belt and whacks him. He kicks out at another guard attacking with a chain and flees just as more guards surge out onto the flat roof. Darius pounds towards the edge of the roof and leaps into the air, acrobatically catching the skid of a helicopter that suddenly hovers into view. The chopper carries Darius, hanging onto the skid with both arms, past the prison watchtower. As a guard takes aim, the chopper soars upwards. Darius, gritting his teeth, pulls himself up into the aircraft, with Shavers at the controls, and slumps irritably into the back seat as they head away from the prison building.
We're late!
Shavers turns to Gibbons, who is seated next to him.
You sure know how to pick him, sir?
Darius puts on headphones. A man lies slumped in the seat next to him with a hypodermic in his neck.
Who the hell is this guy?
Civilian contractor. By the time he wakes up, we'll be long gone.
Still scowling, Darius peers out to see where they're heading. On the ground, Gibbons' car is waiting with a change of clothes.
It said 12:06. Get the turbulence.
We got large and extra large.
Who are you, the butler?
Toby Lee Shavers, DC Tech Division.
Yeah, Darius Stone, cell block A.
Not anymore. Darius Stone no longer exists.
Well, who the hell am I?
You're the new XXX.
Sound like a porno star. What happened to the old XXX?
He's dead. XXX is the designation we give to deep cover agents with special skills.
Yeah, whatever. First things first, I've been on the inside a long time, and I need what every man needs when he's coming off a lockdown. You know what I'm saying?
They drive off.
Yeah, baby. Who's your daddy?
Shavers watches with distaste as Darius gorges on a hamburger. Mm. To Gibbons, who's standing with his back to the diner counter. Mm.
You sure we got the right guy?
Hey, buddy. More fries and another shake.
Darius goes on devouring his burger.
We need to go to work now.
I need to get more fries in another shape.
Shavers.
Hey, you work for us now. So you're gonna do
what I want, when I want. Look.
Darius throws down his burger.
By my count, you boys just broke about 10 federal laws back there. Aiding and abetting, harboring a fugitive, and my personal favorite, Grand Theft Chopper.
So what's your point?
That you two are looking at three strikes in the inside of a very small cell.
You know that's my speech.
I'm running the show now. So here's the deal. I don't answer to you, and I damn sure don't answer to college boy over here.
Gibbons finishes his drink.
Done.
Darius grabs his fries and shake and follows Gibbons out of the diner.
Pay the man.
Okay. So we know you can fight and eat, but what else can you do? The last XXX, he could ski, surf, do all kinds of stunts.
Well, he's dead now, isn't he? So things are gonna be ran different around here. Because I don't play with my life. I'd rather play with yours.
We gotta get back to DC. We need a place to lay low.
Darius considers the question.
I know the safest place in town.
Move out the way when I'm passing through. Heads to the front and the back of you.
They drive through a rundown part of town, past street kids, burnt out cars, graffiti, daubed walls, and homeless people.
I'm anti-celebrity. That's why you never take the destruction of this enemy.
This is the safest place in town.
Gibbons drives up to a turreted Victorian Gothic red brick building with the name Capitol Theatre over the entrance. He pulls up outside graffiti-sprayed corrugated gates. Darius gets out.
Spinning webs of hatred. Welcome to the wonderful world of entertainment where stars are born.
They put, I'll handle this.
He strides over to two burly African-Americans who slide open the doors of a vast workshop where young men, some with tattoos and girls in sexy bras or crop tops and thigh-length boots, are stripping, respraying and remodeling souped-up customized cars. Nobody pays him any attention as Darius, frowning, looks around the workshop. A slim dude with braided hair and wearing a white vest struts into the workshop with his arm around a girl and smoking a joint. Darius nods and a faint smile flickers on his lips. The man grins, hands the girl a joint and comes over.
Meet Trey Stone.
The two men hug.
What's up, man? Heard they had you locked down in the deepest hole inside the Grand Canyon, homie. Yeah, they let me out early for bad behavior.
Man, it's been a while, D.
Where's the boss? I need to talk.
Man, a lot's been changing since you left, D. I run the chop shop now.
Darius looks puzzled.
Where's Lowe?
Uptown.
Uptown.
Gibbons drives along a street of trendy pavement cafes and stylish shopfronts. Shavers nods approvingly.
Now this is more like it. Welcome to the West Side, X. You want to run in these circles? You're going to have to blend.
I don't blend.
They drive into the paved forecourt of a luxury car showroom. Inside, a glossy-haired young black woman in a low-cut dress is talking to a white mechanic.
The dyno has a torque curve dropping off around 6,400 RPM. Dial down the injector pulse width by about 10%.
Mm-hmm. Try 20.
She spins round at the sound of Darius's voice. They look at each other across the top of a car roof.
Darius, you look older.
9 years of bad food to do that to you.
9 years.
He nods.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that a few years shy of 20? Why don't you just tell me what you need so we can do this and be done? That is why you're here, right? You need something.
Hot shower, place to crash.
She blinks her expertly made-up eyes and walks around the front of the car towards him.
Look around, Darius. Got a good life here. I'm not gonna let you wreck it this time.
She stands close to him.
So, what's in it for me?
67 GTO, 1,000 horsepower crate motor, trick suspension.
What?
He's right. They'll be looking for it.
Besides, if we're gonna roll, we're gonna need something with a little more muscle. Something nasty.
She smiles.
I can do nasty.
I know you can.
Gordon stroked, full roller, 8 liters. Supercharged with a 25 PSI boost, automated hydraulics, high stall converter with shift kit. Is that gonna be the trick?
You happy?
I'm good.
I love this girl.
Shavers, standing next to a supersized Ford truck in his preppy shirt and tie and anorak, looks at Lola in awe. Later in the supply room, he strips the micro rockets from the GTO while Gibbons continues briefing Darius.
All right. The target is information. It's on a hard drive inside my old headquarters here. The rest of it is at my house. I'll pick that up tonight while you...
Information. Well, start by giving me some.
We're on the same page.
You know what I'm talking about. Last time out, I went down and you disappeared.
Look, you aren't the only one who lost something that day. Back when the fire started, you were too busy wrestling with the general. Some of us went in to see who we could save. And you think this looks bad? You should have seen it before I got it fixed.
He points to the scarring on the left side of his face. Gibbons and Darius eyeball each other. It is Darius who lowers his eyes first with a respectful expression. He looks back up at Gibbons.
Guess nobody's story has a happy ending.
Story's not over yet, soldier. Shavers. Can you make that into a personal weapon?
Shavers considers the micro rocket.
Give me an hour.
He grins and goes to the workbench. Gibbons turns to Darius.
We straight?
It's funny, Captain. Wars come and go, but my soldiers stay eternal.
I like that. Who said it? Jefferson? Patton?
Tupac.
Gibbons raises one eyebrow. Later in the truck, Shavers spies on the ranch through binoculars, while Darius, dressed in black and carrying a hold all, creeps up to the white fence of the paddock that overlooks the Dutch barn. Both men wear earpieces.
All right, X. This is a covert op, full stealth, total silence.
Darius opens the bag.
You're gonna want to be real delicate here.
Darius fires a shoulder-launched rocket at a car in the paddock.
Subtle.
NSA agents duck as the car flies through the air.
Very subtle.
Below at command center, Meadows reports to Steele.
We got an attack topside.
You two hold the floor.
Everybody else, follow me!
Leaving only two agents below ground, Steele leads the others away. Darius sets a winch over one of the holds blown by the commandos.
All right, X. You got 3 minutes.
He abseils down into one of the tunnels and points his gun in front and behind. It's all clear.
X, Gibbons' office is northwest corner, sector 4.
Darius creeps up behind two agents and knocks them unconscious. Up above, Steele and his agents race through the stables.
X, main room.
Remove the first of three drives facing you.
Darius flips open a panel of the computer and removes the hard drive. In the paddock, Steele and his men mill around, weapons raised.
There's nobody here.
Yeah, except for all of us.
It wasn't an attack, it was a diversion!
Steele leads them back.
All right, X, they're coming back down. You gotta go.
Now!
As Darius runs down a tunnel, he hears the lift ahead of him descending. He turns into another corridor. Steele catches a glimpse of him. With the agents after him, Darius grabs his rope, starts the winch, and disappears back up through the hole. The agents fire up at him. Earth and concrete showers down onto their heads.
Lock this place down. I want him in hand alive.
Have a choice. I'm cut off. Get me out of here.
Okay, X. Boat dock quarter mile dead ahead.
Steel glares as Seamus roars away in the truck.
I want that truck.
Block every road in a 10-mile radius.
They set off after Darius. He bolts a gate into the paddock, sprints across it, bolts the white fence on the far side, and disappears into some woods. The agents follow. Darius slides down a leaf-strewn slope, across a shallow pond, and out the other side. The agents plunge in after him. Darius runs out of the trees onto a boat dock at the side of a river. He sprints along the wooden jetty towards the three twin outboard NSA boats moored there, leaps onto the first one, and pulls the fuel hose from the engine, jumps across to the second boat, and pulls out its fuel line. Fuel floods into the holds. Darius jumps into the third boat and starts the engine. Steele and the other agents run out onto the jetty. Darius turns and fires at the moored boats. They erupt into flames. The agents tumble into the water. Steele fires after Darius.
Close up my car, he blows up my boats. Who the hell is this guy?
Upriver, as Seamus drives across a bridge, he is pulled over by two patrol cars.
All right, college boy, I'm headed upstream.
X? Got a little bit of a problem here.
This is the police. God damn, all you had to do was drive.
You know what, X? I'm really starting to miss the old Triple X.
Stop your vehicle now. Okay, I see you.
Seamus' truck has stopped between two towers on the central section of the bridge, 20 feet above the river. Darius eyes up a barge and dredger under one of the towers. He steers the boat under the bridge in a wide circle.
Hey, get your ass out the driver's seat!
Darius uses the sloping conveyor belt of the dredger as a launch pad. The boat flies into the air and lands on the bridge. Bounces off a police car and crashes to a halt. Darius strolls over the bridge to Seamus' truck as a police car blows up. The policemen are thrown clear as their car tumbles into the river. Darius gets in beside Seamus.
Mission accomplished.
At their headquarters, Meadows briefs the NSA agents.
Darius Stone. Born Southside, D.C. Mother died young, father raised him. Not much to report to Lady A. His dad was killed by a stray bullet in a 211, and Darius went off the grid. Started with graffiti, reckless driving, quickly worked his way up to grand theft auto and resisting arrest. Took him some time to find his calling in the Navy, specifically the Navy SEALs. Trained sniper, top scores, urban recon, demolition, the highest dive in Navy history, 250 feet. Augustus Gibbons recruited him into an elite unit, level 5 classified. Grand ops in Eastern Europe till Christmas in Kosovo. Their general ordered them to set a fire to clear civilians, but Stone refused. Led a mutiny against a 4-star general, the current Secretary of Defense, George Deckert, who had him court-martialed for a 20-year term, 10 for disobeying direct orders, and another 10 for breaking the general's jaw. And it's the last footage we have on him. A meeting with his lawyer, Jonathan Edward Cochran.
Oh, that's cute.
Steel.
Johnny Cochran. I don't think Mr. Stone can afford Johnny's fee. Do we have audio?
It's attorney-client, no mics.
Hold it there. You can reel it back.
The video is
back,
wound
back. Back. Freeze it.
Blow it up.
Gibbons' face is clearly visible.
Gibbons and Stone on a comeback tour.
He turns to the agents.
All right, listen up. I want all eyes up and running on these two, and I want hard 20s on the rest of their old unit. I want to know where they are, I want to know what they're doing, and I want to know now.
In a suburban neighborhood late at night, Gibbons stealthily approaches a clapboard house set back from the road. The whites of his eyes flash in the darkness as he pauses, checking this way and that. Gun in hand, he slips through a garden gate and up to a side door. Shining a torch beam along the barrel of his gun, he moves cautiously through the sub-basement, checks the basement stairs, switches on a light, and goes over to a desk. He switches on a desk lamp. Next to the desk is a cast-iron boilerplate. Gibbons unscrews the boilerplate and reaches inside for another gun and a package. In the package are a passport, money, and snapshots of groups of soldiers. Gibbons examines them. He glances up at the creaking floorboards above his head. Turning out the light and gathering up the package, Gibbons comes up from the basement, gun drawn, and moves through the darkened ground floor of the house, checking out each room. A figure appears behind him and attacks him with a kosh. The attacker beats Gibbons to his knees and puts a pistol to his head. Another man sits in the shadows watching.
I'm disappointed, Augie.
He indicates a chessboard.
Checkmate in 3. You should have seen it coming.
His head moves into the light. It's George Deckert.
Relax. Have a drink. I took the liberty of
pouring myself. You were always taking liberties.
Deckert flashes a cold smile.
Same old Gibbons. Good soldier with a bad attitude. You know, I always remember the first day we met.
I remember the last day I saw you!
He strides. The henchman presses the gun into Gibbons' temple.
I bet you do.
He rubs a hand across his cheek.
Didn't hit too well, did it?
Some wounds never do.
I never asked you to go into that fire.
No, you just said it and watched it burn.
We did what needed to be done.
Oh, is that what you call it? Doing what you need to do? 16 of my men killed? What's that, just more friendly fire?
Gibbons struggles unsuccessfully with the henchman.
Some men die, so others may live.
Funny, you never seem to be the one doing any of the dying.
I'll do whatever it takes to best protect this nation.
You're not doing this to protect the nation, you're doing this to protect yourself. Why? What fires you starting now?
We both live in the same world, we know what's out there.
Save the speech, just so you know. Whatever you're up to, you're not getting away with it.
Why? Because Darius Stone is gonna stop me? I'm sorry. Was that supposed to be a surprise?
Gibbons, I know every move you make even before you do. You still work for me, whether you know it or not.
I never worked for you. I work for my country.
I don't know what's more pathetic. A man that plays chess with himself or a man that doesn't see he's already lost.
Gibbons lunges at Deckert. The henchman clubs him to the floor, unconscious.
Make it look like an accident. Zero explosion.
Deckert puts his drink down, scattering the pieces on the chessboard, and goes to the SUV parked outside. The gunman turns Gibbons' body over. The gunman gets into the driver's seat, lighting a cigarette. Deckert glances at him. He nods and drives away. Deckert is worried and demolishes the house. Steele is pacing the floor in the NSA headquarters. Meadows comes in.
Sir, they found Gibbons.
Investigators say an apparent gas leak triggered the explosion. The fire department was too late to save the occupant, but managed to contain the fire before it spread. The deceased, Augustus Gibbons, was a former Navy captain. He was 51 years old. A funeral will take place tomorrow at Arlington National Cemetery
gas leak.
In Virginia.
Right.
This is Lisa Joyner reporting from Chevy Chase, Maryland for WJLA. Back to you in the studio.
Darius and Lola exchange a bitter glance.
Toby, let's get to work.
Darius holds up the stolen hard drive. Toby Shavers looks at it on the screen.
There's nothing on here. Nothing. It's blank, man.
Because you're looking in the wrong place. Gibbons said it was on the hard drive.
He takes the hard drive over to a bench.
What are you doing?
Darius fashions a projector out of a desk lamp and a couple of magnifying lenses, then carefully peels off a transparent strip from the barcode of the hard drive's casing. It's microfilm.
I read about that. Cold War. Old school, right?
Not that old school.
Darius projects the microfilm. It's a series of photos of people with names written on them. One is Deckard's henchman, Alabama Cobb. Another shows a group of men with a blonde young woman posing for an official photographer with the name Charlie written on it.
All right. Now, which one's Charlie?
Only one way to find out.
Arlington Cemetery.
Aim! Ha!
A column of naval ratings fire a salute over a military coffin.
Ha!
An officer presents a folded flag to Gibbon's widow and salutes, and a black preacher steps forward to address the mourners.
Like our Lord and Savior, Augustus Eugene Gibbons died.
Shavers and Darius watch from the truck.
Head of the NSA, FBI, Joint Chief, Secretary of State.
He lowers his binoculars.
You know what this means, right?
What?
They're gonna kill me next.
Give me those.
Hell, man. You know, if we're gonna be working together, you should work on your partner skills just a little bit. Like, if you want something, try, please, may I borrow?
Please, may I borrow the binoculars before I kick your teeth in?
Okay, see, now that's a start. Not bad.
Among the mourners, Darius sees a gaunt-faced man in tinted glasses. He zooms in.
Deckard?
You know Secretary Deckard?
Oh, yeah. We go way back.
He looks again.
But he hated everything about Gibbons. So what is he doing here?
And sees the blonde woman from the microfilm.
Charlie.
You found him.
Her.
Her?
Can you get me a suit?
Oh, so now you want to blend.
Charlie, the slim, long-legged young woman from the microfilm, now dressed in a chic white skirt and jacket, strolls purposefully through the gallery of the fashionable indoor plaza. She passes Darius, leaning against the railings, unrecognizable in a sharp blue business suit and carrying a tightly furled umbrella. He dons a pair of preppy spectacles and follows her into a smart restaurant. Charlie, who's in her 20s with shoulder-length blonde hair and peaches and cream complexion, looks up from her menu in surprise as Darius sits down at her table.
I hear this place has the best gumbo in town.
Excuse me. I'm actually meeting someone for lunch.
Relax, Charlie. This will only take a minute.
She gives him a cold smile.
How did you know my name? Who are you?
We have a mutual friend, Augustus Gibbons.
Had a mutual friend, and you didn't answer my question. Who are you?
My name is Darius Stone.
Stone? You have half the suits in the city looking for you. Why in the world would you come here?
Trust me. They won't look for a guy like me in a place like this.
Well, no offense, but I don't trust anybody right now.
Good. That means we got something in common.
Charlie, I'm sorry I'm so late. I had that urban youth meeting. I ran over. You know, we're trying to set up that after-school gun instructional program for kids. I'm sorry, Dick Ambrose, NRA?
Reverend Billy Bob Baker, Southern Baptist Brotherhood.
Well, it's just great to meet you, Reverend.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen, we're setting up this rally upstate next week, and I was just wondering if there was some way we could attract, some upstanding African-Americans like yourself. You got any advice for us?
Well, Dick, perhaps you can tell your members to stop buying country music, stop burning crosses, and stop shooting black folks. Hear me? Now, if that don't work, try cookout with free food. Preferably fried.
Dick. Would you mind terribly if we rescheduled?
I think that would be, that's fine. I have a lot of stuff to do. Reverend, I'll
Call me.
I'll call you about that.
Charlie looks down, hiding a smile as bald-headed Dickie drifts away, looking bewildered. Darius turns to her.
Tell me about you and the captain.
She glances around.
I was Gibbons' contact on the Hill. I'm an aide to the Senate Subcommittee on Military Action.
Military?
She sips from a glass of wine.
Deckard.
Secretary of Defense Deckard?
It's not a bullet shot in the dark that he don't know about. So tell me something, Charlie. Can you get me close to him?
Well, Reverend. You think you can lay your hands on a tuxedo?
He looks at her coolly. On a stage at one end of a lavishly decorated suite of reception rooms, a line of young female string players sway enthusiastically in their skimpy black dresses as they play. A bejeweled guest beckons a waiter, and Darius appears in a white tux, carrying a tray of champagne glasses. Marines in dress uniform and soldiers in kilt stand to attention beside doorways draped with British and American flags. Darius wanders through the crowded, high-ceilinged rooms with his tray of drinks, past women in elegant gowns and men in black tie or military uniforms. Among the guests, he spots Deckard in a black tux, talking to a four-star general with cropped silver hair. Charlie comes up to Darius wearing a low-cut, strappy, spangly green evening gown.
You made it.
You know, I never miss a point.
Not quite the tux I had in mind.
Yes, but I'm blending.
You see the guest of honor?
Mm-hmm. Those bodyguards, SEAL Team 4, half my old unit, and not the better half. Who's the ugly general he's talking to?
Jack Pettibone, Vice Chair, Joint Chiefs. Doesn't look too happy.
Must be the music. One way to find out.
Carrying his tray of glasses shoulder high, Darius makes his way through the guests towards Deckard and General Pettibone. Bodyguards with dark glasses and earpieces hover nearby, including Deckard's henchman, Cobb, whose photo is on Gibbons' microfilm. Darius raises a hand to hide his face as he eavesdrops on the general.
I truly can't believe what I'm hearing.
We go back 30 years, Jack. Same blood and the same mud, and you never question my command.
I presume you've heard of the United States Congress.
Jack, this country is being led down the wrong path.
You really think you can do this, don't you? With just a few regiments.
Once we lead, the full force will follow. The clock is ticking. With or without you. 3 days.
Deckard turns a cold, threatening stare at Pettibone, reaches after Darius's tray and takes a glass of champagne. Darius quickly turns his head and slips away, but Cobb catches a glimpse of his profile and hurries over to Deckard.
He's here.
Cobb clicks his fingers and two bodyguards in dark glasses appear at his side. He sends them through the crowd of guests after Darius, who downs his last glass of champagne in one, tossing his tray at a guest. Cobb and another bodyguard try to cut him off. Cobb stops a waitress, who points.
Black guy, white tux.
Cobb bursts through a door to find himself in a busy kitchen full of black guys in white tuxes, carrying trays. Darius slips out into a back alley, but more bodyguards spot him. A sports car roars up the alley.
Had enough of the party?
Darius vaults in beside Charlie and she reverses out onto the road.
Hold on!
A yellow cab swerves to avoid her as she pulls away. The bodyguards reach vainly for their radios. In the NSA briefing room, Steele sits at the conference table reading. Meadows comes in.
You asked me to track down the rest of their old troop?
Mm-hmm.
Well, half of them are still enlisted.
What about the other half?
Gone. Missing. The same men that backed Stone against Deckard, every single one of them just disappeared.
Steele studies a group photo of Gibbons' unit in combat fatigues. Under the night sky, Charlie's sleek sports car pulls up in the drive of an elegant mansion.
Whoa, wait a minute. This is your home? Not bad for a senator's aide.
Charlie smiles.
I'm not just a senator's aide, I'm also a senator's daughter. James Mayweather, Virginia.
Think Daddy's ready to meet a guy like me?
Actually, Daddy's out of town.
Really?
She leads the way into an elegant hallway.
Make yourself at home, Darius.
Not a bad place to grow up, I guess.
Only on the surface. Growing up in DC politics is like living in a snake pit. Everybody fighting for territory.
Sounds a lot like where I grew up.
She shows him into a spacious bedroom.
Oh, no. This is nothing like where I grew up.
She turns on a lamp next to the canopied four-poster bed.
Let's get you out of those clothes, shall we?
Smiling suggestively, she crosses to the dresser.
Here we go. Why don't you try these on?
He pulls a face.
Not really my style.
Why don't you, go ahead and get cleaned up? There's some fresh towels in the bathroom.
Full service, huh?
You know, if you need anything, I'm just right down the hall.
Anything?
Anything at all.
How about some fries and a shake?
She purses her pink lips and saunters out of the bedroom.
The things I can't do for my country.
A little later in the evening, he comes out of the bathroom, drying his crotched hair in a towel. He steps into the silent bedroom, rubs his head some more, and stops. He lowers the towel in his right hand and looks round. He comes out onto the landing and looks across at the sumptuous staircase, its walls adorned with family portraits. On the white and beige tile marble floor of the landing, he spots a handgun.
Charlie!
He steps towards it, picks up the gun, and checks the breech. Looking all around him, clamping the gun in both hands in front of him.
Charlie!
He moves cautiously towards another part of the house. In the corner of an elegantly furnished bedroom, he spots a desk fan and a lamp lying on the carpet. Drawing nearer, he finds General Pettibone still in full dress uniform lying on the floor with a bullet wound in his temple.
Pettibone?
From the window, he sees squad cars streaming in.
She set me up. Bitch.
The cars mill round, lights flashing. Darius dashes to the ground floor and switches off the power. The mansion is plunged into darkness.
We got the vice chair and the joint chiefs in there. If you stay on his arms, it's dangerous. Proceed with extreme caution, gentlemen.
Gus, get me a hostage negotiator. There are 2-block radius and 5 is the active perimeter.
Better make that 10.
Steel and Meadows.
Captain, a man's a special forces sniper. You're gonna want to keep all fields clear, at least half a mile downwind.
Who the hell are you?
Kyle Steele, NSA. Captain, I need to speak to this man alive.
So?
It's a matter of national security, sir.
Where the hell are you going?
Going inside.
Then I don't care who you are, you got 6 minutes till we breach.
Stone! I'm coming in unarmed!
Darius aims the gun at the front door as Steele steps up to it, hands above his head.
All right, close that door.
With searchlights trained on his back, Steele coolly does as he's told.
Hands!
Steele raises both hands out to the side.
Step forward. How you know I wouldn't shoot you the second you stepped through that door?
I didn't. But I do know this, you got 5 minutes till they knock that door down. So let's skip the chit-chat. Where's Pettibone?
Upstairs. Dead.
You do it?
If I did it, you wouldn't know until I wanted you to. Now turn around.
Steele puts his hands behind his head. Darius frisks him.
Stone, this doesn't look too good, man. An escaped convict breaks into a house with an automatic in hand and a dead man upstairs.
I didn't break in. Now move.
We didn't break in here. So what, the general invited you over for a nightcap? And what happened? You guys felt like playing Russian roulette?
This is not my gun.
You expect me to buy that line?
It's not a line, it's the truth. They set me up.
Who sent you up?
Deckard.
Deckard.
Darius takes food out of the fridge.
Secretary of Defense, Deckard.
He clipped Gibbons when he got too close. And now Pettibone.
Too close to what? Stone, you got 3 minutes. Level with me.
Why are we here? Why'd you go after Pettibone?
I didn't go after nobody. I don't even know the guy. Never seen him before in my life. Whoa. Easy.
Steele pulls a photograph out of his pocket.
It sure looks a lot like you.
Darius picks it up from the kitchen counter. It shows him in the white tux standing next to Pettibone at the party.
Damn, they're good.
Steele eyes the pile of food.
Think now's really the best time for a snack?
What they got out there? 3 teams? Flashbangs, body armor, heat scopes? Am I close?
Stone, I want to help you here. I really do. But if you run, you look guilty.
Brother, I was born looking guilty. And now, it's time for you to go.
Steele walks out of the mansion, hands in his trouser pockets.
Where is he?
Meadows tosses Steele his jacket. Steele ignores the cop.
Where is he?
Captain, I got him. Looks like upstairs bathroom.
Okay, we'll get him.
He's
Seeing a red glow on the police heat scanner, the officer in charge signals to his team to breach the mansion. The helmeted men with visors on their faces smash through the front door, and pointing their heat sensors, they file upstairs in the otherwise unlit house, following the intensity of the red glow on their screens. They pile into the bathroom, yank open the shower curtains, and gape at the steaming piles of microwave food lying in the bath. In the kitchen, Darius jumps out of the fridge, grabs the one SWAT team member guarding the ground floor. The others hurry back to find their colleague lying on the floor in his t-shirt and underpants. As more policemen sprint towards the mansion, one SWAT team member gets in a car. Darius pulls down his visor and reverses out. Back at base, a TV report.
This is the last known photograph of the suspect. We do know he recently escaped
U.S. disciplinary barracks. Haircut suits you, definitely.
Near Charlottesville, Virginia. The assailant is assumed to be armed and dangerous. One of General Pettibone's closest friends was Defense Secretary George Deckard.
Jack Pettibone was a dear friend of mine. And tonight, this nation has lost a great patriot. And his quiet contributions will be properly recorded in the history books yet to be written.
From base to base, Camp Pendleton to Fort Bragg, General Pettibone's troops are en route to Washington, D.C. for the funeral.
We're not coming for the funeral. Same blood, same mud. Pettibone and Deckard both served for over 30 years together. So that means Pettibone's troops are also...
Deckard's?
Correct.
What's that got to do with the funeral?
The perfect cover. Deckard does the guest list, only invites his boys to town. Bam, he's got his army. Now he's gotta be loading up. How would he get his gear?
All orders go through his department, the DOD.
Right.
Schaefer nods quizzically at Darius, who stares back at him, raising his right eyebrow.
You want me to hack in? To the U.S. Department of Defense? We're talking 500 acres of hardware, Cray supercomputers, encryption chips, not to mention more firewalls than the NSA, CIA, and the IRS combined?
Exactly.
Hold my chips.
Schaefer hands Lola his packet of crisps. He views data on computer monitors. Leaning on a silver car nearby, Darius glances up at Lola, who responds with a cool sideways glance followed by an involuntary smile.
You know, you don't have to wait up.
You think I'd leave you alone with my car?
What's so special about this one?
Shelby Cobra prototype, 600 horses, 10,000 RPM. Only three off the rack, and we sold it for half a mil to some senator who'll never take her out of first gear.
Half a mil for a car?
You've been gone a while, Dee. Everything's more expensive now.
She lets him have a good long look at her.
I can see that.
She purses her lips and beckons with her forefinger.
Come here.
With a sultry look over her shoulder, she leads him across the floor.
You've done real good, Lo. No rollbacks, part bans, or stripped engines. It's a long way from Zeke's chop shop.
Still got a few bins in the back. And I still get my hands dirty.
She whips a dust cover off a turquoise blue car.
Classic's still a classic.
You remember the first time we dropped gears in this one?
I remember three squad cars at 100 plus on the parkway.
Oh, she was fast.
Yes, she was.
You remember all that damage we did in the back seat?
That was a long time ago, Dee.
Not for me. Ready to do some more damage?
He slips his thumb under her bra strap and pulls it down, then goes to kiss her shoulder.
He shoots! He scores! College boy just pulled off the hack of the century! Requisition order. Deckard's bringing all his troops and armored vehicles through a naval base up the Potomac to the USS Independence. It's an aircraft carrier, man.
Looks like we're going upstate.
At night, at a military naval dockside, a huge aircraft carrier is moored in the water. Darius in a frogman suit pops up from under the dark waters of the Potomac River. He pulls off his mask and tank and starts to climb the aircraft carrier's anchor chain, unseen despite the lights reflected in the water. As he climbs, he spies a missile carrier driving along the dock. He carries on up the chain, hand over hand, and climbs through the anchor hole into the bowels of the aircraft carrier, his gun at the ready. Finding the vast loading area empty, he puts the gun away and hurries further into the hull, down a narrow corridor, past walls of piping and ducting. He glances into a personnel cabin, finds a padded bulletproof vest, and he puts it on. He steps into another corridor and peers through a thin grille. He looks on in astonishment at the vast hangar deck full of armored vehicles and weapons being loaded up by hundreds of naval personnel. He looks through binoculars and sees helicopters, tanks, and Humvees being kitted out. He scans the width of the deck, bypassing a striking head of blonde hair. He whips the binoculars back up and refocuses them close up. It's Charlie looking at plans with Deckard's aide, Cobb.
Well, well, daddy's little girl.
Cobb rolls up the laminated plan, hands it to Charlie, who strides across the hangar. Darius lowers the binoculars. Charlie, in a black leather catsuit, comes down a narrow corridor with Darius close behind her. Darius clamps his hand over his soldier's mouth and knocks him out cold. He locks a heavy bulkhead door behind him and draws his gun.
Look here, these people will be Stone.
You miss me?
Apparently, we all did.
She had me fooled, too.
Darius turns his head towards Gibbons.
Captain?
Who is behind bars.
Harris? Jackson? What the hell is going on here?
It's your old unit, Stone. And you're gonna be joining them real soon.
What's she talking about?
Decker, he set us up.
For what?
I don't know, I didn't get that far. I was hoping maybe you did.
Charlie backs away. Darius advances with his gun.
You're not going nowhere.
Neither are you.
She sounds the alarm. He whacks her with his pistol. She staggers back and bangs her face on the wall. He rescues the rolled up plan.
No, don't worry about it.
Darius, please.
You know you should have killed that bitch!
Back in the corridor, soldiers come at Darius from all sides, but he dispatches them all, sending one tumbling down a companionway ladder. Cobb into his walkie-talkie.
Who triggered the alarm?
It's Stone. He's here.
Cobb curses.
Levi! Get men fore and aft, push them down here.
Back on the hangar deck, Darius creeps past supply containers, ducking in between them to avoid detection. With the coast clear, he clambers onto a small tank, sliding down through the hatch. Seated at the controls, he switches on power, and the tank starts to roll forward. Cobb spins round, sees the moving tank, and draws his gun.
Take him out, now!
Soldiers scramble after the tank. Darius presses buttons and smoke bombs are released from the tank, littering the floor of the cargo deck. Two of Cobb's men climb into a huge tank with three guns and turn on the power. It reverses off its stand and Cobb yells instructions.
You have green light. Repeat. Take your best shot. Oh, Sergeant Cobb. You're still too dumb to make captain.
Lieutenant Stone, blast from the past.
Oh, that's Big Daddy Stone to you.
So tell me, how was prison?
You'll find out
soon enough. And with a mouth like yours, they gonna love you on the inside.
Let's go! Get him! Fire!
Soldiers release rockets. Darius swerves and the rockets hit a supply truck. Darius picks up the radio.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that your ride?
Nah, but yours is gonna take you straight to hell.
The crew of the super tank load the main gun.
Loading! Stand by!
The two tanks emerge from the smoke at opposite ends of the deck. Again, Darius swerves and the shell takes out a helicopter.
God damn it!
Man, that wasn't even close. Bruh, choppers, what's next? You gonna sink the ship?
Only if you're still on it.
Keep this up and you ain't gonna have none left, hillbilly.
The super tank trundles after Darius.
Load! Load it!
You and I have unfinished business, homeboy.
Darius stops his tank, rotates his turret to the rear and fires at the super tank. The shell bounces off the super tank's armor plate.
Fire!
The return fire blows the rear door of Darius's tank. He keeps on moving. Cobb shouts to his men.
Let's go!
Throwing the tank into a tight turn around a pile of crates, Darius comes up on the flank of the super tank and deliberately rams into it. He pushes the larger vehicle into a parked helicopter, wrecking it and bringing the super tank to a halt. Darius's tank races away down the hangar.
They got him going! Over there, that way!
The back of Darius's tank is burning and its rear door dragging on the ground as he slews to a halt on one of the hangar deck's giant aircraft lifts. He leaps out through the flames and sets the lift going. A soldier attacks him. Darius knocks the man to the ground, leaps for the enormous lift platform as it rises into the air and pulls himself up onto it. Cobb shouts into his radio.
Get that tank topside now!
The super tank rolls into another lift.
Move! Bravo squad to flight deck now!
As the super tank starts its ascent in the lift, Darius roars off down the flight deck in his damaged tank, arcs it over the aircraft launch catapult, and leaps out. The super tank crew load their gun. Darius leaps into the launch pit below his tank, switches on the operating system, and attaches the launch strut to the tank's front axle.
Locked on!
As the super tank rises onto the flight deck, Darius triggers the launch catapult. His tank races down the deck.
Fire! Now!
Into the super tank. Smashing them both into pieces, Darius watches as the burning debris flies over the deck and into the water.
God damn it!
As Cobb's men fire at him, Darius sprints to the edge of the flight deck and jumps. Plunges into the deep. Soldiers pepper the water with a salvo of bullets. As Darius swims away underwater, Cobb's men launch boats. Darius surfaces briefly by the hull of one of the ships, looks around, takes a huge lungful of air, and disappears. In Washington, the US president walks along a corridor in the White House with Secretary of State Deckard at his heels.
George, I'm addressing the nation tonight, so what's the hang-up on the new military bill?
Well, if you're reducing troops, closing bases, and cutting R&D, you leave us vulnerable.
George, we need to increase international aid. We need to reverse this isolationist doctrine. Maybe then we can turn some of these enemies into allies.
Deckard looks at him coldly.
I know this doesn't particularly thrill you, George, but this is going to be my legacy.
Sir.
Now, the question...
The president looks Deckard squarely in the face.
Do I have your support?
It goes without saying, Mr. President.
Steele, bare-chested, is in a boxing ring. As he knocks his sparring partner to the floor, Meadows comes in with a cell phone.
Call for you. It's about the new Lincoln you ordered. Yeah.
Downstairs. Your car. Come along.
Steele walks to his car in an underground car park. He looks into the rearview mirror. Darius is sitting in the back seat. Darius reaches into a bag and passes something over to Steele.
Take a look.
Steele, glancing cautiously into the mirror, takes the floor plan that Darius took from Charlie on board the aircraft carrier.
It's a map of the Capitol.
A military map. With attack routes, targets.
I see that. Where'd you get it?
Upstate. Deckard's little Boy Scouts are gearing up for World War IV. They got tanks, choppers. They got Gibbons.
What do you mean?
Gibbons is not dead. He's locked up with half my old unit.
Upstate?
Correct. Deckard is setting him up for a fall.
Fall for what?
What do you think? This man is making a move on the U.S. Capitol.
Car headlights flash past. Darius covers his face.
See this?
Steele holds up the map.
Map came from National Recon. Yeah, Deckard's making a move. He's running security for the State of the Union tonight. He's not attacking. He's guarding these targets.
Oh, that's beautiful. Perfect cover. He's got his old crew suited and booted. Look, these boys don't play defense, just offense.
Steele scrutinizes Darius in the rearview mirror and shakes his head.
It's not enough. What if you're wrong?
He looks over his shoulder and the two men eyeball each other.
I was wrong. I thought you was more than just another suit.
In the operations room, Meadows brings the president's security detail up on screen. Alabama Cobb's name is at the top.
Sir, the security detail? They're all ex-military.
Yeah, I can see that.
All of them served with Gibbons and Stone.
Steele nervously rubs a hand across his mouth.
It's Deckard's unit.
I think we got something.
Meadows opens up a graphic on the big screen behind them, showing the USS Independence and its manifest of tanks and helicopters.
World War IV.
Anything the Defense Department needs to know?
It's Deckard with an NSA official.
Sure it's nothing you don't already know, sir.
Smiling affably, Deckard offers his hand.
George Deckard.
Secretary Deckard, this is Agent Steele. Kyle, the secretary wanted to check in on the Gibbons case.
I have a personal interest in the case. Captain Gibbons was a friend.
Well, you can rest assured we're doing everything we can to find him.
Find him?
Well, you know we never did ID his body.
Deckard turns sharply to Steele.
Terrible thing, accident like that.
Deckard looks pointedly at Steele.
Could happen to anyone.
Steele holds his gaze unflinchingly.
Tell me, Kyle, What did Derry Stone say to you?
Sorry, what do you mean?
You were the last to talk to him before he got away.
Didn't say much. No, just a bunch of wild conspiracy theories, that's all.
Sounds like Stone.
Steele gives Deckard a lopsided grin. The two men eye each other levelly.
Well, if you hear anything...
Deckard pats him chummily on the shoulder.
I'm going to chase down.
Deckard starts to go, and Steele nods to himself.
Sir, could you tell me something?
Deckard turns with visible annoyance.
Always wondered. How do you pick the men who protect the president?
Simple. I choose men I can trust.
Like Gibbons. Would have been good to have him there tonight, huh, sir?
No, he'll be there. In spirit.
I'm sure he will. Good luck, sir.
Deckard nods curtly and goes. Steele watches him, hands on hips. Then turns to Meadows with a shrewd, knowing look. In her car workshop, Lola is working with Shavers and Darius on the big Ford truck. Darius pulls a gun as someone enters. It's Steele. He raises his hands.
Sounds like the right bank's running leaner than the left. You want to richen her up, you're going to have to remap the ECU.
All three stare at him.
What, are you surprised?
Yeah. In fact, you know how to tune up a truck.
I didn't always wear a suit.
Darius keeps his gun leveled.
How'd you find me?
It's my job, Darius. I'm very good at it. Can we talk?
Darius glances at Lola, makes the gun safe, and goes off with Steve into an adjoining workshop.
You were right. Deckard knew Gibbons was alive. Look at this.
He takes out the seating plan for the State of the Union address.
President, VP, Speaker of the House, Secretary of State, the chain of command. He takes them out, he's what?
Deckard becomes the new president.
That's right.
Cleanest revolution in history. So why are you here? Call the White House.
Can't. We don't know how deep this goes.
So what's your plan?
Figure we gotta go outside the box on this one.
Darius turns away, giving this careful consideration. He slowly turns his eyes back to Steele.
How far outside the box are you prepared to go? Because to get us close to the Capitol, we're gonna need some brothers we can trust.
The glint comes into Steele's eye.
Ain't no place like home.
Party is going on at Zeke's Chop Shop, and the disused theater is now more of a workshop come nightclub full of sleepy upholstered cars and girls. Zeke is lying back on a sofa with his girlfriend, listening to Darius and Steele.
Man, y'all almost had me too. They got jokes, man. You hear that? They got jokes.
No joke. We need your help.
So why don't you go to the police?
We don't trust the police.
I heard that. Hold this, baby, one second. And you know we got your back. But this ain't got nothing to do with us.
This got everything to do with you. Don't do it for the red, white, and blue. Do it for yourself. Do it for the right to hack and jack cars of the highest quality on the same block as the White House.
Zeke glances from Darius to Steele.
Just an American way of life, bruh. Now, if you want to protect that way of life, then you got to step up and fight for it. Because if Deckard takes over, freedom won't be free for long.
Zeke raises a quizzical eyebrow and turns away to think this over, rubbing a hand over his chin. Steele gives Darius a wry look.
Nice speech.
Yeah, the freedom part is a bit much there.
Zeke walks up to Steele.
I got some federal heat. Immigration. IRS. A couple of homeboys unjustly accused. I do this for you. You hook us up?
I do what I can.
Zeke looks at Darius and nods.
Fair enough.
He turns to his workers.
All right, fellas, get your gear together. We got some work to do. Jank, Kevlar panels, killer, super jacks, dizzle, heavy duty roll cages, assholes and elbows, gentlemen. Let's go.
Toby, to deal with these guys, we're gonna need some serious gear.
Well, it's about time. God, I am so glad to hear you say that, X. I got some stuff I know you're gonna love. Laser scope, frequency lock, GPS auto tracker. This thing will tell you what kind of perfume a chick's wearing from 30 miles away.
Gotta come in handy.
So are these. Basic scramblers, jammers, circuit jacks, whatever you need. Now this is the house special. I call this one the glove.
And so does everybody else.
Not everybody else has electro charge, pneumatic suction. Turn this bad boy on.
The black leather glove hand sticks to a car door hanging from a winch. Darius picks up the winch control.
Huh? See? Nothing. Nothing at all. Hey, just chill out with the button. Don't. Just... Hey, come on, man. Why you gotta play around here? Hey, whoa!
We need firepower. Do you have anything that shoots bullets?
I don't, but Homeland Security does.
Lola, come on, man, please.
Lola lowers shavers back to the ground.
Okay, I'll just call the Pentagon and see if they deliver.
We don't have to. They've been running weapons across country in civilian trucks.
Civilian trucks?
Yeah!
An articulated lorry drives down a city street driven by two black men.
Hey, hello.
Oh.
You just ate 5 minutes ago.
Hey, what if I go in the back and get a slice of that cheese?
You stop at one slice.
The two men grin.
What the hell Department of Homeland Defense need with a truck full of cheese anyway?
You ain't never heard of government cheese?
Two black women in short skirts standing beside their overheated car flag down the lorry. The driver and his obese mate, Gord.
Let's give him a little assistance.
Optimistically, the duo climb down from the cab.
Hi, boys.
Ladies, look like you're over here.
I know we are.
I mean, you're
coming from the west side, and you know what's up.
Three black SUVs screech to a halt. Darius and Zeke and some armed brothers leap out. Two of Zeke's men attack the back of the truck with bolt cutters. The fat driver's mate raises his fists.
Ow! I'm not going out without a fight!
He's retarded!
Keys in the trunk, move the lever because the brakes get stuck.
Shavers comes up.
Hi, I'm Agent Shavers. We'll be commandeering your truck today.
The driver gawks.
Man, we can't let nobody know a white guy hijacked us.
We'll say we're 75 black guys.
Darius and Zeke leap into the back of the lorry, which is lined with shelves of round cheeses. Darius moves some cheeses, revealing a metal keypad. Shavers punches in a code, and secret doors open. The front half of the lorry contains an arsenal of weapons. The driver gapes in astonishment.
We got a truck full of guns, and they're paying us to haul cheese?
That's not cheese?
No, that's not cheese.
So what you think, D-Train? This enough bang for you?
Darius picks up an enormous gun.
God bless America.
Somewhere within sight of the capital, Deckard's team are kitting up and getting their vehicles ready. Gibbons and his men are tied up in the back of a personnel carrier. Cobb is taping up their mouths. Gibbons looks at Deckard.
You're going to take the president out, aren't you, George?
No, Captain.
You are. They pull the trigger, you take the fall.
No one would ever believe I
what? Augustus Gibbons always fought the system. This week, that fight became a war. He took out his own NSA unit, broke a convict out of a maximum security prison, staged his own death, ordered the murder of Jack Pettibone, and rallied his old troop of traitors for one last stand.
I believe it.
You know what your problem is, Augie? You've never been able to see beyond the bend.
And you've never been able to see beyond yourself.
Deckard looks at Gibbons with strained patience.
You've had your hero's funeral, Gibbons. This time, they're gonna bury you in a pine box in an unmarked grave.
I'm not buried yet.
He's one man, Captain. What can one man do?
Cobb tapes up Gibbons' mouth. As night falls over Washington, D.C., Deckard's men move into position. Soldiers spill out of armored personnel carriers to set up roadblocks. In Zeke's chop shop, the brothers load up their vehicles. Darius goes over a map with Zeke, Steel, and Shavers.
Decker's got all the streets locked down. Three blocks in every direction.
There are some streets you don't know about. After East Capitol and A Street, we use alleys and warehouses to bust out behind the Capitol.
Gonna have tanks waiting.
Leave the tanks to me. If it got wheels, we can jack it. Trust me, Daddy-O.
All right, let's roll.
All right, gentlemen, lock and load. Time to ride out.
The fate of the free world in the hands of a bunch of hustlers and thieves.
Why should tonight be any different?
Steel and Darius climb into a truck. Outside the Capitol building, a crowd applauds as the presidential motorcade draws up. Secret Service agents surround the president as he gets out of his limousine. He waves to the crowd. Helicopters with searchlights circle the building, and TV news reporters make live broadcasts. The president walks up the Capitol steps, turning back to wave at the crowd.
You can see behind him. The president has just arrived.
Today we're eager to hear the president's stance on a number of pressing issues tonight. Chief among them, the new military bill.
Zeke's fleet of vehicles with headlights blazing takes to the street. In the lead truck, Darius and Zeke calmly nod to each other. On the floor of the Congress, everyone stands as the president makes his way toward the podium, Deckard among them.
Mr. Speaker, my fellow Americans, tonight I stand before you to report that the state of our union is strong.
A TV relays the speech into Zeke's truck. Darius changes channels.
We are at a critical moment in our history.
Oh, yes, the Lord!
Nice. Get crunk, X. Come on, Steel, get crunk with us.
Darius glances at Shavers with a puzzled frown. The convoy drives along the pavement.
We now need the courage to reevaluate the course of modern American democracy if we are to truly flourish and survive.
Zeke's trucks face a roadblock.
Looks like we got a little block party up ahead. Go through it. Hold on.
Zeke puts his foot down and the five trucks race towards the line of oil drums. Soldiers leap for their lives as Zeke's truck pushes their vehicle aside.
We must use understanding and compassion.
They're shooting at us!
Welcome to the hood, college boy!
And compromise to win battles.
Deckard listens, stony-faced.
And not just the sacrifices of the lives of our young men and women.
Soldiers fire on the trucks as they scream past them. Zeke mows down a metal gate leading to an area of alleyways and warehouses. In the backseat alongside Steel, Shavers grimaces anxiously.
Fellas, I don't mean to be a backseat driver or anything, but isn't that a dead end?
There's no such thing as a dead end.
They smash through the corrugated iron wall into a warehouse. It's a maze of crates and boxes. Zeke leads the other souped-up trucks and SUVs in a mad slalom through towering stacks and pallets. Darius looks at him calmly as they prepare to smash through the wall at the far end of the building. Bucking and jumping, the trucks emerge into a narrow side street. Zeke turns to Darius.
Now that's what I'm talking about!
A tank appears at the junction ahead.
Shit.
Its gun turret begins to rotate.
I think you might want to back up right about now.
Zeke slams the truck into reverse.
Go, 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 go!
The tank's gun is pointing straight at them.
Everybody out, now!
They jump for their lives. The truck is blown to pieces in a fireball of yellow flame. Darius and the others nip for cover behind cars as great chunks of burning wreckage fly past and the chassis smashes down on a nearby car. Steel looks at Zeke.
I told you that our tank's waiting.
And I told you, if it got wheels, we can jack it. Move it! Get those sacks out of there!
The brothers drag their custom-made pneumatic jacks towards the tank. Its tracks spin uselessly as they jack it off the ground. Darius attacks the tank hatch with a grinder. Steel, Darius, and Zeke aim their weapons at the hapless crew inside.
Welcome to the first tank jacking in history.
We can and must endeavor to win the hearts and minds of our enemies and turn them into our allies. And so, my fellow Americans, I will ask you tonight to support this new...
The lights all over the Capitol building flicker and die.
What's going on?
Sir, we need to move you.
Secret Service agents hustle the president away. Darius climbs into the tank.
Okay, let's put these dubs to work.
Steel, in a black jacket, sits just behind him.
You sure you know how to drive this thing?
Darius flattens a line of parked cars.
He's trying to get a feel for it.
Darius grins at Steel.
Yeah, I can get used to this!
More cars are crushed under the tank's tracks.
You know, somebody better leave a note.
Okay, split off the vice president.
What are you doing?
Just following protocol, sir.
Deckard speaks into his radio, walking beside the president as Secret Service agents light the way with torches. Outside, Zeke's crew, walking, in trucks, or riding the tank, approach the Capitol. As the presidential party enter the rotunda, Deckard into his radio.
We're in position.
Cops commandos abseil down from the dome. The Secret Service agents draw their guns, but are mown down by the figures in black. Pandemonium breaks out in the Congress. As the last Secret Service agents are mown down, Darius Steele, Shavers, Zeke, and his men arrive outside the Capitol building.
All right, Zeke, the tank is all yours. Hey, you know what to do.
Cobb pulls off his mask as his commandos secure the rotunda. The president stares at Deckard. Outside, Steele and Darius run up the steps.
I'll take lead. You lay down, cut.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What do you mean you'll take lead?
I'm Triple X.
Is this you, George?
The president.
Are you doing this?
Zeke loads the tank gun.
Are you familiar with the word treason?
You're a Jefferson man.
The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots.
tyrants. That's the end of the quote.
I will do whatever it takes to keep this nation safe and strong. Compassion? Understanding? What world are you living in?
The tax turret traverses towards the rotunda. Deckett turns to Cobb.
Get rid of him.
Casey, do it! Do it now!
Let's redecorate!
Line up!
The tank shell blows a hole in the wall of the rotunda, killing several commandos. Darius and Steele leap in through the rubble. Cobb shouts to his men.
Two teams, 6 o'clock! One team, 12!
Taking cover behind pillars and statues of former presidents, Darius and Steele exchange fire with the commandos.
Sergeant!
Deckard and Cobb hustle the president away down a corridor as Cobb's men are gunned down one by one by Darius and Steele. Deckard contacts Charlie on his radio.
Get Gibbons up here.
Roger that. We're on our way.
Let's finish this.
Darius and Steele take out the last of the commandos. They step cautiously from behind their pillars, checking the body count.
Good shooting.
Navy SEALs, high scores, Coronado.
Please, I got high score.
But I beat him in 96. What, you don't read the newsletter?
We're coming in from the southwest halls. We'll be with you in 30 seconds.
Charlie and her team push Gibbons and his unit, still gagged and tied, into the rotunda. Darius and Steele gun down Charlie's men.
Drop it!
To Charlie.
Now! I said drop it!
Darius clubs her with his rifle butt. He untapes Gibbons' mouth. And cuts his hands free.
What took you so damn long to get here?
Same old Gibbons. Maybe I should put this back on. Get a thank you, or ask to see you stone, or nothing.
Charlie pulls out a handgun. Gibbons beats him to the draw.
See? I told you should have killed that bitch.
He picks up one of the commando's guns.
Bravo to sub-team. Bravo to sub-team. We can still make this work if we have Gibbons.
Charlie, where the hell is he?
I'm right here, General.
Checkmate in three. You should have seen it coming.
Give up while you still can, George.
It's over.
The president turns to Deckard.
Things not going according to plan?
Deckard glares, his confidence dented. Cobb looks to him for instructions.
Sir?
Sergeant, sidearm. We'll fall back to the train.
He takes a pistol from Cobb and pushes the president towards a staircase.
Cap, he's got to have a backup. What would it be?
There's a presidential bullet train 3 stories down for emergency evacuation.
More commandos attack from a corridor. Gibbons shouts to Darius.
Come after him! We'll take care of this!
Darius steps off after the president as Gibbons and Steele shoot their way down the corridor towards the commandos. Three floors down in the lobby of the bullet train terminal, Deckard and Cobb shoot the two men guarding the entrance to the train. Deckard forces the president's hand onto the palm print door lock. They board the train, and Deckard takes the president through to the cockpit, where two men and a woman in blue uniforms spring to attention.
Sergeant?
You, out! Do what he says.
Cobb takes one man and a woman outside.
No!
Drive!
The remaining man gets into the driver's seat, and the bullet train pulls away just as Darius runs into the lobby. He pulls out his radio.
Toby, I need a ride, something fast!
As the bullet train speeds away, outside the Capitol building, Gibbons organizes his men.
Listen up! I want 3 Blackhawks on that pad ASAP! Clear the road! I got a car incoming!
Darius comes up. Gibbons looks over at him.
Time to throw the last punch, Lieutenant! Go get him!
Lola pulls up at Darius's side in a Shelby Cobra convertible and smiles at him seductively.
Heard you needed a ride.
He gives her a lopsided grin. Lola gets out of the car, and Darius slips into the driver's seat.
How fast does she go?
Let me know.
He grins. Lola's sight betrays her anxiety as Darius disappears in a cloud of blue tire smoke. He gets on the radio to Steele.
Yeah!
Steele! Where's that train going?
North-northwest, straight up I-95!
Got it.
There he's waiting!
He's not a big fan of waiting. Neither am I. Let's go!
Darius drives away. Gibbons clambers into the pilot seat of one of the 3 Black Hawk helicopters, with Steele climbing in behind him. They take off. Darius dodges and weaves his way between the cars on a busy 4-lane highway. The speedometer reaches 120. He rockets into the oncoming traffic. A lorry jackknifes as it breaks, and Darius hugs the concrete wall to avoid it. The three Blackhawks join the chase. As Darius crosses a flyover, he sees the high-speed train pass underneath him. He swerves onto the exit ramp, skidding wheels, and joins the interstate that runs alongside the railway track. With speedometer touching 160, Darius closes up on the back of the train. In the lead helicopter, Gibbons and Steele catch sight of the train.
There it is!
Steele pulls off his earphones. Gibbons banks the helicopter. In the cockpit of the train, Deckard sees Darius on a rear-view security monitor.
Faster!
The driver speeds up and the train pulls farther away from Darius. The president makes a move to stand. Cobb grabs him by the shoulder. The president lashes out and hits him on the jaw.
Sit down, Jim.
Deckard points a gun at him.
Feels good, doesn't it? To get your hands dirty.
Fuck you.
The covert, Darius watches the bullet train disappear into the night.
Okay. Let's see what half a million buys.
He swerves off the interstate onto the train track, fighting the steering wheel as the Cobra swings wildly out of control. Its tires burst, and the alloy wheels settle down onto the metal tracks. Darius thunders after the train. In the Black Hawk, Steele desperately tries to steady Deckard's image in his telescopic sights.
I can't get a clean shot!
Maybe you can, but he can't.
Gibbons indicates the Cobra, its wheels spewing a river of sparks coming up behind the train at 200 miles per hour. In the car, Darius reaches for his machine gun and shoots out the cockpit window of the rear carriage. He picks up a grenade pistol and looses off a shot. The rear carriage disintegrates. He launches the Cobra into the back of the train and climbs in through the cockpit window. The Cobra detaches and somersaults back down the track. As Darius clambers through the rear, Cobb sets off from the front cockpit to intercept him. Up above, the three Blackhawks track the high-speed train with their searchlights.
We'll just keep coming, George. There's no way you're gonna hide.
Why should I hide? The man that tried to save the president but failed? I'll be seen as a patriot.
Tried to save the president, but you mean...
A national tragedy. Look at it this way. You might get your own holiday.
Sliding another grenade into his pistol, Darius makes his way through the dining car and opens the door to the galley. He spots Cobb's automatic on the floor. Cobb bursts from an overhead locker and stabs Darius through the forearm. Cobb leaps down and they trade blows, Darius pinned to the wall by the knife through his arm. Darius wrenches the knife through and slashes at Cobb with it. Cobb drives a steel trolley at him. They fight with whatever comes to hand, knives, saucepans, cleavers. Slams Darius' knife arm down on a gas hob. Darius knees him in the stomach. Cobb's Zippo lighter falls from his belt. Cobb slashes at Darius with a cleaver, severing a gas pipe. Darius slams Cobb against a steel cabinet and they trade more blows. Cobb gets the hose head from the sink around Darius' neck and tries to strangle him. Darius breaks free. Cobb throws Darius to the floor, brings a metal trolley down on top of him and stamps on it. Darius reaches for Cobb's lighter, ignites it, and tosses it into the air.
Hillbilly, you need to lighten up.
The escaping gas explodes and blows Cobb out of the window in the cockpit.
Air brakes are blown. I can't slow us down.
Then we won't be needing you anymore.
Deckard shoots the driver, grapples with the president, and forces him through the train at gunpoint. In the galley, as the flames die down, Darius beats out his burning sleeve and crawls from under the trolley. In the dark outside, Gibbons' Black Hawk swoops down towards the train.
Get ready!
All right, here we go.
Steel drops down on a winch line towards the train. As Darius steps out of the galley, Deckard comes through the next carriage using the President as a human shield. He fires at Darius.
Drop and slide, Lieutenant!
I don't think so!
Darius ducks across the passageway, opens a switch box, and turns off the lights in all the carriages. With the winch line streaming out behind the speeding helicopter, Steel nears the windows of the train. Darius lobs a smoke grenade into the next carriage. Gibbons.
Can't hold it steady.
Stop!
Deckard fires at Steel as he slams against the carriage window outside the train. Darius ducks into the carriage.
Just like old times, huh?
Yeah. How's that job, General?
I think of you every time I choose steady.
Darius opens a set of carriage doors for Steel.
And I thought of you every night I spent in prison!
As Deckard fires at Darius, the President jumps on Deckard. As they grapple, Darius sees his chance, pounds down the carriage and leaps on Deckard, shouting at the President.
Go! Run!
The President makes his way to the open doors where Steel is being buffeted by the 200-mile-an-hour slipstream, his winch cable pulled almost horizontal.
Sir! You're gonna have to jump!
As Darius and Deckard struggle on the carriage floor, the President reaches for Steel's hand. While Deckard hammers at Darius with both fists and kicks at him, the President grabs onto Steel's harness and swings away from the train. Deckard grabs a gun and fires through the open train door. He wounds Steel, but Darius jumps on him before he can get off another shot. Gibbons puts the Black Hawk into a climbing turn and winches Steel and the President in, while Deckard and Darius fight on.
Almost dead.
The President clambers into the safety of the helicopter. On the train, Deckard aims his gun at Darius' head.
I've been waiting for this for 10 years!
Darius spots a towering viaduct up ahead.
We'll keep waiting!
Deckard's bullet misses as Darius leaps into the void. In the helicopter, Gibbons fires off a rocket at the train. Deckard sees it coming.
Your turn to do the dying, General.
The train explodes in a ball of fire, its engines and carriages toppling over the viaduct and plummeting down after Darius, who is free-falling towards the river without a parachute to save him. He pulls out his grenade pistol, aims at the water directly below, and fires. A fountain of cushioning water rises into the air. Darius dives right into it. A train carriage spears into the water behind him, hits the riverbed, and topples. It misses Darius by inches. Gibbons' Black Hawk circles overhead as he, Steel, and the President survey the carnage. Steel bows his head.
Wars come and go, but my soldiers stay eternal.
What's that you said?
Looks like there's a man who deserves a presidential commendation, sir.
Yes. And then some.
Yeah. And then some.
Gibbons stares down bitterly at the burning river. Unseen by anyone in the helicopter, Darius swims to the surface, struggles out onto the bank on his hands and knees, and slumps down, watching the last pieces of flaming debris tumble into the water. Sometime later, in Lola's workshop, he and Lola watch the reports on television.
The nation is in shock today in the aftermath of last night's violent attack on the U.S. Capitol.
Has reverberated around the world and stunned Americans as they wake up to see the remnants.
Authorities say the attack on the U.S. Capitol was thwarted by a joint effort from D.C. police and federal agents.
When a group of armed assailants managed to penetrate security surrounding the president.
White House sources confirm the president is secure.
In other news, Secretary of Defense George Deckard was buried with full military honors today. Secretary Deckard lost his life while trying to rescue the president during the attack on the Capitol. He will be remembered as one of our nation's greatest heroes.
I love this town.
Now, more than ever, we need heroes. So it is with great pride that I bestow this Congressional Medal of Honor on Kyle Christopher Steele. And I hold this medal for the unknown soldier, wherever he may be. For wars come and go, but my soldiers, they stay eternal.
Did the president just quote Tupac?
Son of a bitch stole my line.
They shake their heads at the cheek of the man. Lola looks down, and her eyes cloud over.
So what's this?
Darius is packed hold all.
You out?
He turns to her.
You know me, Lo. I'm only good at 100 plus with a couple of cops on my tail. And you got a good life here.
She stops his mouth with a kiss.
That ought to keep me going another 9 years.
She puts a hand to his cheek.
D. How fast did she go?
220. 225.
He smiles.
The second best ride of my life.
He kisses her goodbye and picks up his hold on. She turns to watch him go. As he walks away past the sleek and gleaming cars through to the next bay of the workshop, Lola follows.
Dee, you forgot something.
She tosses him a set of keys. He glances at the classic blue Mustang just behind him, turns back to Lola with a grin, gets into the driver's seat, and puts on a pair of shades.
Getting funds, cause you getting none. Hit a cop, they hit a nun. It's all with a gun. What is done is what is done. It's all for the fun.
Back in the Triple X headquarters, Gibbon strolls through the newly repaired underground nerve center, flanked by Shavers and Steve.
Sir, I've got some ideas for the next Triple X.
I think it's my turn to choose now.
Hold on, gentlemen. I pick the agents. I think we need to go even further off the grid next time. Fresh face, new model. I've got the perfect candidate.
West Coast, get X East Coast, get X Midwest, get X down south, get X West Coast, get X East Coast, get X Midwest.
This audio description was read by Daniel Coonan and written and produced at IMS. Unit Production Manager, Deborah James. First Assistant Director, J. Michael Haney. Second Assistant Director, Steve Battaglia. Cast, Triple X Darius Stone, Ice Cube, Agent Augustus Gibbons, Samuel L. Jackson, George Octavius Deckard, Willem Dafoe, Agent Kyle Steele, Scott Speedman, President James Sanford, Peter Strauss, Zeke, Exhibit, Toby Lee Shavers, Michael Root, Charlie, Sonny Mabry, Lola Jackson, Nona Gay. Lieutenant Alabama Bama Cobb, John G. Connolly, Agent Meadows, Raymond de Ocampo, Bull, Barry Sigismondi, Conductor, Michael Don Evans, Agent, David Roundtree, Jack Pettibone, Ned Schmitka, Farmhand, Scott Michael Morgan, Young Agent, Chris Johnson, Baptist Teacher, Tom Gossam, Uptight Businessman, Stan Sellers, NSA Director, Bill Brody, Paul Collins. Field reporter at Fire, Lisa Joyner. Police Captain Davis, Bruce Kirkpatrick. Sharpshooter, Lance Baldwin. Newscasters, Kent Shockneck, Glenn Walker, Lena Nguyen. Field reporters, Jean Sakata, Gina St. John, Paul Keeley. Guard, Andrew Fiskella, Webster, J. Anthony Brown. Morris, Bruce Bruce, Lebo, Matt Gerald, Funeral Commander, David Kennedy. Casket Detail Commander, Rennie Ibarra. Presidential Aide, Sarah Mack. Firing Team Commander, Jared Chandler. Corvette Girl, Samantha Taylor. SWAT Officer, Gavin Lindsay Good. Soldier, Jeffrey Moon. Tank Gunner, Travis Hinson. Music, Fight the Power by Carlton Ridnour, Keith M. Boxley and Derek T. Sadler. Performed by Korn, featuring Exhibit. The Good Song by Anthony C. Williams II. Performed by Tonex. Messiah by Bobby McIntosh, Yassin Talat, Jeff Dalziel, John Levine, Gerald Eaton, Jason Levine, James McCollum, Craig Hunter and Brian West, performed by Dead Celebrity Status. Here We Go by Germany James and Timothy Z. Mosey, performed by Dirtbag. As the World Turns by Tupac Shakur, Daryl Big D. Harper, Mutu Beal, Rufus Cooper, Yapo Fula, Malcolm Greenidge and Bruce Washington. I Play You Lose by Dwayne Artest Morgan and Brian Yalskulka, performed by The Gruesomes, featuring Tez. Victory by Tonsi Kulik, performed by Bond. Dirty Little Thing by Scott Weiland, Saul Hudson, Duff McKagan, Matt Sorum, Dave Kushner and Keith Nelson, performed by Velvet Revolver. The March by Daniel Carlisle, Randy Lynch and Scott Summer, performed by Hush. Looking For You by Howard Bailey, Warren Griffin III, Kai Sims, Carl Bowers, performed by Chingy, featuring G.I.B. Oh No by Antoine Patton, Warren Anderson Mathis, Michael Render, Jamar Williams, Rico Wade, Raymond Murray, Patrick Brown and George Morton, performed by Big Boy featuring Killer Mike and Bubba Sparks, contained sample of Remember, Walking in the Sand, performed by the Shangri-Las, Did It Again by Roger Edwards, Darius Ford, Nazia Bey and Brian Stanley, performed by Labo, Two Sisters of Mystery by Neftali Santiago, performed by Planet People Movement. Anybody Seen the Popos by O'Shea Jackson, Tee Come the Dew and David Lopez, performed by Ice Cube. Get Triple X'd by Gerald Jones, Moses Barrett III, Ebony Williams, Mark Williams and Joe Kent, performed by Jay Kwan featuring Petey Pablo and Ebony Eyes. State of the Union by Julian and Peter Bunetta, performed by Julian Bunetta. While Out by Wayne Hardnett and Vorshawn Maestro Brooks, performed by Bone Crusher. Hit the block, see the streets is hot. 430, gotta get it in with one in the Just Like You by 3 Days Grace and Gavin Brown, performed by 3 Days Grace. MKLVFKWR by Richard Moby Hall. Carlton Ridenhour and William Drayton, performed by Moby and Public Enemy. Diss That Flop by Sean Paul Joseph, Jeffrey Grigsby, Mark Williams and Joe Kent, performed by Youngbloods. Special thanks to Baltimore Film Commission, Maryland Department of Public Safety and Correctional Services, Maryland Film Office, USS Hornet Aircraft Carrier, City and County of Los Angeles, Entertainment Industry Development Corp. This film was monitored by the American Humane Association. No animal was harmed in the making of this film. This film was released by Columbia Pictures, a Sony Pictures Entertainment company.